Deuteronomy 8, beginning with verse number 11. God gave Moses to write to the nation of Israel truths that parallel America today. Like Israel, too much of America has forgotten God and where we came from. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask for your help to be a help and a blessing to your people. We pray for our nation today that is in desperate need of prayer. And we pray for this congregation and all these families represented here today. We pray if there's anyone lost, that they might understand the gospel and receive Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a time where people are rewriting history. They're raising our children in schools that no longer teach the founding principles of this nation. They literally teach them that this is not a Christian nation. Our president has announced to the United Nations and the world, America is no longer a Christian nation. Baloney. This country was founded as a Christian nation, and his executive order has no right to take that away. Amen. They're trying to remove all influence of the Lord and the Bible and Christianity, and that started long before he came along. Politicians have tried to remove God from everything within the government. I want you to look at a few verses, and then we'll come back here. Turn over with me to Psalm 33. Show you we're not just talking about the nation of Israel. The Bible gives principles for the believer to live by, for our homes, how we're to raise our families by, for the church, how it is to operate, and for the nations that will answer to God. Psalm 33 and verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by a multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. O soul, waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." Then the little Psalm 117. just two verses. Psalm 117. We've taught our children in the public school systems evolution. God didn't create them. The Bible says God created man.
Amen.
We have taught them how to have sex. Instead of sex education on abstinence, they've taught them how to have safe sex. You better think, my friends, that all the unwed pregnancies and all the disease and all that sort of thing, the only safe sex is between a man and a woman in the bonds of marriage.
Amen.
They've taught our children that it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies. And without strong Christian values in a home, it's very difficult for us to counterbalance what they're being taught hours and hours a day in the public school system. Now let me add to that. It only takes one generation being raised without God, without the Bible, without church, without Christianity, and then you get into the mess that we are in today with people that think they're right, denying God, rejecting the Bible, and looking at Christians who believe the Bible as being terrorists in some way. Psalm 117, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Too many today are celebrating independence from God and the Bible rather than celebrating the independence this nation has from the tyranny of the governing nation of England who governed it. First of all, today I remind you, America has forgotten God and His grace. Like Israel in Deuteronomy 8's warning to them, and like the parallel with America today, America has forgotten where we've come from, and they've forgotten the God who brought us here. England saw that the potential wealth from the colonies was something they wanted to control. In England, they controlled men by a church-state religion. They still have that church-state religion today. There was taxation without any representation. It isn't much different today, my friends. You tell me when the last time your voice made any difference to a politician or to anything that was being passed. You tell me when you voted against Obamacare. You didn't get the right to do that. You tell me when you voted for homosexuality to allow marriages and to force Christians to do business with those people in their sin and all that sort of thing. We never voted on any of that sort of thing. There is no representation that stands up for us and for what we believe, except the God of heaven. And His judgment is not swift. His judgment is scheduled and measured, and it will be according to His will. Armed troops came to America to enforce persecution upon those who did not go along with England. They wanted to remove the rights of the common people. That's still taking place today, my friends. We have little right or little voice in the world today. And we are not represented by people who have our interests. They have their own interests when they get elected. When you got to spend $50 million to $100 million to get elected to an office that pays $120,000 a year, then there's some reasons that people back those people to put them in the positions that they want them in. In Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2 and 3, God had called Israel to remember Him. In those verses that I read to you, He said in verse 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." And He repeats these three things again that I read to you a few moments ago in verse 16. "To humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no." Now that was no surprise to God. God knows the end from the beginning. God knew exactly what Israel would do. But God had them see themselves that they would not be obedient and not follow His commandments and His judgments and His statutes. God already knew what Israel would do. God knows what America will do. God knows what you will do and what I will do. But God gives us opportunity to humble ourselves and to test us and to remove the iniquities and impurities and have opportunity to walk with God and to please Him with our lives. In Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 2 through 4, the prophet said to the nation of Israel, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know me." You've forgotten who God is. America knows where their prosperity is, but America has forgotten who brought them to this place. Our nation suffers from a lapse of memory. Revisionists today are seeking to remove from the generations of young people coming up any knowledge of God and God's hand in the founding of America and Christianity's place in this nation today. Like Israel, God has blessed America. It has been a land of abundance, a land of freedoms, a land of generosity. We have fed the world. There's no other nation on earth where people want to break into it to get into America. People will do everything, risk life and limb of their own children to get into America to enjoy some of the benefits that we enjoy here. You cannot separate the moral good of this nation from God and the Bible and Christianity. Goodness comes from godliness, and everything that's good about this nation is because of God and our relationship to Him. Churches built all of the early schools in America. The church houses were built in communities and used as the schoolhouse until they grew to the point that they could separate that and establish their own teachers. Many of the ministers were the early teachers in the schools. Most of your major colleges, including Princeton and Harvard, were founded to train ministers and as Christian schools to honor God and their purpose that every man should know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. What happened to them? They took federal money. That's what happened to them. And they took state money. And that relinquished the authority of the schools in what they could teach and what they could stand for. Do you know denominations built most of the early hospitals in the United States of America? And then doctors and administrators figured out how much money could be made if they control the hospitals rather than a charitable organization giving away surgeries and treatments. They could charge millions and millions and millions of dollars for those things, and that's exactly what they have done. They bought up all the Catholic hospitals in Charlotte. Mercy and Mercy South were well-known hospitals. They took me in the operating room with a boy named Jimmy Miner that's still alive and well today, who had his throat cut and he had bled out and he was almost at the point of death. And the reason the Catholic hospital would take me into the operating room to counsel with him, they thought I was giving him his last rites as a Catholic. I was giving him the gospel as a Baptist is what I was doing. And by God's grace, he survived. Churches built the hospitals. Churches built the colleges. Churches, Christian people who had wealth, established many of the charities that have become today things that have lost their morals. They've become corrupt. Why? Because of money. A woman can make $2 million as the head of a local United Way organization. That's as corrupt as you can get in the name of charity to take money to make yourself personally rich. She's not the only one. That's happened in about every one of these charities and all over the United States. There was enough money given to the victims' families of 9/11 that every relation in the immediate family of those 2,000 people that were killed could be millionaires today. But what happened to it? Many of those charities padded their bank accounts with that money in the name of those victims so that they could organize further charitable work and pay all the salaries of all the people they're a part of. They have removed prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and Christian influence from government, claiming separation of church and state. Church and state separation is in the Constitution. I beg to differ. No, it is not. As a matter of fact, let's see where it did come from. It's not in the First Amendment. That's where most people think it's found. The First Amendment reads, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." That's the First Amendment. It has nothing to do with separation of church and state. It has to do with the state not controlling the church. It has to do with the freedoms and liberties of churches to operate. Well, this country is not a Christian nation. The founders didn't want one denomination controlling America like it had done in England. They wanted to stay away from what they'd had in England, where the king was the head of the church. But the founding fathers and the Supreme Court were quite clear that Christianity was the established religion and was to be involved in the government. This is evident in the Supreme Court decision of 1796 and many other writings thereafter. Supreme Court ruling, 1796, Runkle versus Weinmiller. "By our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed on the same equal footing." Where did separation of church and state come from? It came because the Danbury Baptist Association wrote to Thomas Jefferson when he was President of the United States in 1802. He addressed a letter to them explaining that he was not intending to have his own denomination, the Congregationalist group, to become a church-state religion over all others. The Danbury Baptist was concerned, and so they wrote to him. His letter reads, "Gentlemen, the affectionate sentiments of esteem and appropriation which you are so good to express toward me on behalf of the Danbury Baptist Association give me the highest satisfaction. My duties dictate a faithful and zealous pursuit of the interests of my constituents, and a proportion as they are persuaded of my fidelity to those duties, the discharge of them becomes more and more pleasing. Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions, I contemplate with sovereign reverence that the act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state, adhering to this expression of the supreme will of the nation in behalf of the rights of conscience, I shall see with sincere satisfaction the progress of those sentiments which tend to restore to man all his natural rights, convinced he has no natural right in opposition to his social duties. I reciprocate your kindness, prayers, and the protection and blessing of the common Father and Creator of man, and tender for you, yourselves, and your religious association assurances of my high respect and esteem." His letter was to assure the Danbury Association of Baptist people that the Congregationalist government would not become a church-state religion under his tenure as President of the United States. And thus doing, he put a wall of separation between church and state, that the state would not force one denomination to rule over the other denominations. Had nothing to do with taking God out of the government, the Bible out of our schools, prayer out of our schools, or the name of Jesus Christ in prayer from every town meeting that takes place in America today. Had nothing to do with those things. Let's see a little bit more of the sentiment of the presidents of the United States. Thank you. I said America has forgotten God and where we came from. Secondly, as God defended Israel and all the battles they faced, God has sustained America. From the Revolutionary War, World War I, World War II, Korea, all the conflicts that we face with other nations, great or small. But as the morals of America began to fail, our nation slipped farther away from God and into the war in Vietnam. 58,000 lives were lost there. And we began to ask ourselves, where is God? Why has God not blessed America in this war? God would have the nation to turn to Him, but the nation began to forget God. Its prosperity began to give it the same mind that Israel had when they forgot God. God allows punishment and correction to teach a nation to draw them unto Him, so they will repent of their sins and draw close to God. When Israel got prideful and prosperous and turned from God in the time of the judges, God allowed other nations to punish them, to conquer them, to humble them, and where they would cry out to God for deliverance. And over and over and over this happened. How merciful is our God, not to just annihilate us because of our sin. In Judges 17:6 and in Judges 21:25, the Bible says there was no king in the land in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We live in a time where men are doing the same thing. We have to ask ourselves today of America, is Christ our King and our Lord? Have we forgotten His commands? Are we living by the temptation that Satan, the serpent, gave to Eve in the Garden of Eden? That if you eat of this fruit and disobey God, it will open your eyes and you'll be wise and you'll know good and you'll know evil. You see, the temptation, my friends, is to forget what God says. You choose what's good and what's evil. And is not America in that vein today where men are choosing for themselves what they believe is right and good and what is evil and bad? And it's topsy-turvydom. Woe unto a nation when they call good evil and evil good. We're rejecting God and His Word and God's rule over man for every man to do that which was right in his own eyes. Back in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10 and 11, the Bible warned, when thou hast eaten and art full, and when thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Beware, America, today, that you forget not the Lord thy God in keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, simply obeying what God's Word says. What will it take for America to be humbled? What will it take for America to be proved? What will it take for America to turn back to obeying God? Have we gone so far away that we cannot come back? I believe the only evidence I've ever seen personally of a touch of revival in the 36 years that I've been the pastor of this church was when the Iraq war was declared. And y'all remember the hype of that. Saddam Hussein was saying this is going to be the mother of all wars. It's a holy war and all that sort of thing. A lot of people didn't know the Bible was scared to death. This was Armageddon and the end of the world and all that sort of thing. One of our ladies had a son that was in the military who was going to have to go over there. And she stood on her feet in prayer meeting and confessed her sins. She said, I've talked about the preacher, I've talked about this church, I've gossiped, I've done all these things. She confessed it all right there in public. She said, I'm asking y'all to forgive me and God to forgive me and to pray for my son as he goes over to war. And you know, we had people saved, people coming to the altar, people confessing sin. There was a breath of revival for a period of time that lasted, that started when that lady did that on that night. I want to say to you, that's what it's going to take from America. The prodigal did that when he got hungry and when he got broke and when he had no place to turn just to feed himself. He turned back to his father's house to go ask for forgiveness and for mercy. Is that what it will take for America? Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. A couple more verses and I'll be through. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse number 17. God made America a place of freedom and liberty. The early constitutions of all of our states proclaim their relationship with God. Pennsylvania was founded to be a place of religious liberties. People were invited from around the world to come there if they had suffered persecution of their religion, and they could have their religion. And that's why those Quakers and Mennonites and all of those kind of people founded places of living in the state of Pennsylvania. And there was religious liberty in all of the United States in that day. Ezekiel 3 and verse 17, "Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." I want to say to you that America has been given the responsibility to be a watchman to the world. And we have failed miserably in our job of proclaiming that to the world. "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." He goes on in this statement to say the same about the righteous who turn away from God. And we must warn them. We must warn people of sin and its consequences. We must warn people there's a God in heaven who made them, and they are accountable unto them. And there's only one way of salvation, and that is in Jesus Christ. And God has given us a responsibility to declare this to others and to declare this to the world around us. And if we don't declare it, my friends, we'll be just as guilty as the watchman to the nation of Israel. Ezekiel 18 and verse number 4, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." Verse 7 through 10, he talks about that restoring things as they should be and not committing particular sins as the nation was doing in that day. And then verse 20 of chapter 18, he said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." In verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." God has no pleasure in people dying and going to hell. God didn't create hell for that reason. America has forgotten God. When every state constitution honors the Lord as the creator and the benefactor of America. Our money reminds us still, in God we trust. And yes, there's an onslaught to take that off the money. And they work as hard as they can to try to do that, as they've taken God out of so many other things. Our fathers added to the Pledge of Allegiance. If you ever get to see Red Skelton explain the Pledge of Allegiance, you'll notice that he does not talk about under God. And that's because that had not been added to the pledge at that time. But after that it was added. And he certainly supported it in being added. But our fathers added to the pledge, one nation under God, indivisible, recognizing that it is only by God's protection that we can be an indivisible nation. Churches have spread across America. Missions have gone forth from America to the world. It is from here that we send the majority of money for missions and the majority of charity and benevolent societies and charities to help those in their times of need. And America needs to remember its true history. America needs to remember God's warnings. In Matthew 25, there's coming a day where all nations will be gathered together. and give an account to the Lord who sits on the throne. And the Lord said, He will say to those on His right hand, Blessed are you of my Father, enter into paradise. And those on His left, He will say, You gave me no food when I was hungry, or water to drink when I was thirsty, or clothes to clothe me when I was naked. And they will say, When did we not do these things? And He will say, When you did not do it to the least of mine, you did not do it unto me. The same He rewards those who did it for the least of His, as if they have done it unto Him. And those nations will learn, the Bible says in verse 46, all those that do not know the Lord will be turned into hell and everlasting punishment. As Bible Christians today, we seek to obey the Lord God as best we possibly can in a nation that is getting farther and farther away from God in the Bible. We must warn men of the consequences of sin and ungodliness. We must appeal to men to compel to them to be saved. We must repent of our own sins and turn to God before it's too late. Will it take persecution or war or famine or what to humble people to get them to turn to God? I don't know. Even in the tribulation period, there'll be those that will see all the things that take place from the wrath of God, and the Bible will say, and yet they still did not repent of their sin and believe upon the Lord. For those of us who do believe today, we have the promises of God for a great future to look forward to. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I hope you, like me, want to see your Savior's face. Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank You today for all the blessings You've given to this nation and the nation of Israel, Your preservation of them and Your preservation of this nation, America. Pray that You'll help us be accountable, responsible, and Lord, that we'll spread Your word and be the watchman to call people to repentance and faith. We need Your help. We ask You for it, and we pray for this nation in Jesus' name. Amen.